Big news, one generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
AI can't think like a human yet, but the differences are getting harder to spot. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Even the most impressive artificial intelligence today isn't quite what we see in sci-fi. The super intelligent humanoids of Westworld, the malevolent supercomputer in 2001 A Space Odyssey, or the emotionally attuned operating system in Her. These are more like artificial general intelligence, or AGI, machines that are capable of everything humans are, or more. As far as we know, AGI hasn't become a reality yet. But according to John Licato, a professor of computer science at the University of South Florida, experts don't always agree on what the tipping point is.
There's a set of problems that we sometimes call AI hard or AI complete. And by that, we mean that if any of those problems are solved by an algorithm, then we can say that that algorithm has what it takes to do everything else that a typical human can. Even within researchers, we don't all agree on which problems are AI complete. And the boundary kind of shifts. So, you know, for example, 40 years ago, there were some people saying that chess is an AI complete problem. 20 years ago, some were saying that Jeopardy was an AI complete problem. And then we developed AI capable of beating the best human players in both of those games. And I think a lot of them would still say that AGI is something we don't have today. So over time, we have these shifting goalposts on what the distinction is between AGI and AI, and also between the division between human and artificial.
Right. I think a lot of people might have heard of the Turing test, Alan Turing, the idea that the test of a machine's ability to imitate humans is kind of the end all be all of AI testing. But is that the case anymore, given, you know, some of the advances that we're looking at today?
No. And actually, I don't even think that Alan Turing, when he originally talked about that, would have said that if we have an AI capable of passing the Turing test, then it is AGI, right? I think he kind of brought it up as a way of identifying a point after which the distinction isn't going to matter that much for us. You know, when you have an algorithm that's able to interact with you in every meaningful way, just like in the movie Her, then are you really going to care as much about whether it's real? There's going to be a large subset of people that just don't believe the distinction matters anymore. I can't tell the difference by interacting with it, whether it's artificial or not. Therefore, it's real enough for me.
Is what we're looking at today with these chatbots considered artificial general intelligence? And how do we know?
Unfortunately, the answer to that is going to be it depends who you talk to. Because of the fact that we still can't come up with a consensus on what it means to be human, we're not going to come up with consistent answers on whether or not what we have is AGI. I think, though, that a lot of people are able to say that the reasoning used by current state-of-the-art language models is crossing a line, that it's reasonable to say that, yes, it actually is closer to AGI than it isn't.
Right. I mean, there have been some claims among those working on today's large language models. Researchers at Microsoft published a paper that refers to, quote, sparks of AGI in GPT-4. Several Google leaders were interviewed on 60 Minutes, referring to emergent properties in one of their language models, sort of translating languages they said the model had not been explicitly trained to do. These claims, we should say, have been heavily criticized by some AI researchers, including Google's own former co-lead of AI ethics, Margaret Mitchell. But I mean, does it seem possible to you that large language models could lead to AGI?
I think the answer is a clear yes. So there's this concept in AI that Rich Sutton talks about, and it's called the bitter lesson. And the idea is that in AI research, this happens over and over. We keep coming up with these really interesting algorithms and really interesting, clever approaches to do something intelligent. And then a couple years later, we find that all we needed to do was throw more compute power at it, and we would have been able to do that anyway. And that's something that's been happening in AI over and over. And the lesson is particularly bitter with language models, because the underlying technology that makes state-of-the-art language models possible is actually really something that we've had now since probably the 80s. It's backpropagation and deep networks, right? It's just that we never had the available data in the sizes that we have now, and we didn't have the compute power that we did to actually process it. And now if we just threw the hardware at it, and we threw more and more money and bigger research programs at it, and it was able to get these state-of-the-art results. So it might be that we already have the algorithmic know-how that we need to reach AGI. It's just that we're waiting to have enough computational power to hit it. And it could be that we're already on that path.
We've been looking back at the movie Her, which came out 10 years ago. And at the center of that film is this relationship between a highly advanced AI operating system, Samantha, voiced by Scarlett Johansson, and a sort of lonely guy named Theodore, played by Joaquin Phoenix. As someone who studies AI, sort of rewatching this movie now, what strikes you about Samantha, given kind of the technology that we have today?
Oh, so much about this sort of ability for the AI to sense the emotional state and emotional needs of the user and respond appropriately. There were so many times when Samantha would sense that, you know, Theodore was in a bad mood, and, you know, Scarlett Johansson would just, you know, change her voice slightly so it'd sound very, you know, sympathetic and not demanding. And, you know, these are shades of what we are actually trying to do in UI research and human user interface. We're trying to figure out how to, in some sense, anticipate what the user needs, often before they even know it themselves, right? And just the fact that, you know, the movie shows us a heightened version of what that could look like when we reach the goals of that kind of research is amazing to watch.
And Samantha doesn't just seem able to understand emotion. She also appears to feel emotion, or at least very convincingly give the impression that she does. I mean, is that real? Could AGI have feelings?
Yeah, I always ask my students to answer the question first, so how they know that I'm feeling emotions.
Yeah. Right?
How do you know that I'm feeling genuine emotions? And we just sort of infer it from, you know, a combination of little signals that we see. And if you put me in a highly emotional situation and I don't react the way that you would expect, then you might say, huh, he's kind of robotic, right? He doesn't feel emotions. But if I react in a way you expect, then you're more likely to say, oh yeah, he's actually feeling emotions. You can't ever answer that question with 100% certainty. It's a completely inductive inference that you make. And if we have artificially intelligent systems that are so good at tailoring their outputs so that it looks like they have genuine emotional states, it's very, very difficult, arguably impossible, to distinguish between that and whether or not they actually are feeling emotional states. So at that point, you have to ask the question of whether the distinction actually matters, whether it's actually meaningful.
If you had to guess, how far away do you think we might be from having technology like Samantha?
If I had to bet, I would say under 5 years. There's a lot of possible confounding factors, of course. You know, there's all this discussion on AI regulation and ethical concerns and whether we should. But if the research is unconstrained and there aren't hardware limitations, that's another possible confounding factor, of course. then I don't see any reason to say that it's more than 5 years away.
There's been a lot of talk about the existential risk of developing super intelligent AI. I mean, how do you feel about the development of more advanced AI and potentially AGI?
The way I feel about it is it is definitely not something that we can ignore at this point. The possibility of actually creating AGI is no longer something that we can say, it'd be interesting to deal with someday, and you know, maybe some future generation will have to deal with it. It's very likely already here, and it's just a matter of time before we reach it. So we have to pay attention to it at the legislative level, at the research level. On the other hand, this is arguably the most important technological development in human history. I mean, you know, we're essentially figuring out how to create human-like minds. It is going to completely change the way that we interact with each other, the way societies are structured, governments, warfare, jobs. All of that is going to be completely different once we have AGI.
John Licato at the University of South Florida. Now, as John Licato mentioned, there is a fair amount of disagreement, even within the AI research community, about how close or far we are from AGI. I mentioned Margaret Mitchell, the former co-lead of Google's AI ethics team, along with Timnit Gebru, both of whom say they were fired over a controversial paper they co-authored called On the Dangers of Stochastic Parrots. That term, stochastic parrot, has become a skeptical way of describing large language models by critics of the technology. We had another of the co-authors of that paper on the show earlier this year, the computational linguist Emily Bender at the University of Washington. We talked about what she sees as the problem of AI hype. After a number of tech leaders and researchers, including Elon Musk, signed an open letter calling for a pause of AI development over fears it would obliterate civilization. And we've got more discussion of the technology in the movie Her in Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit newsletter, which comes out every Monday. Marketplace Tech took over that newsletter this month to examine the movie Her and how it resonates in our current AI moment. Read the latest issue and sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. You can also check out the other episodes in the series at our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.